Just before I start to share, would it be possible for us to ask you guys if you could come into the seats that are available here? I know it's a squash, but part of our church family is to allow spaces for every person. And we've been using that area as a creche, so anybody who wishes to nip out can actually nip out behind the screen. So it would sort of be wrong to talk about nurturing young people without allowing a space for the very youngest and the parents of the very youngest to feel comfortable. So we'll just do that. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Nick Jackson. I'm the Children and Families Leader here at Headington Baptist. And we sang a Power Pack song because, well, Becky chose it. I didn't know she was choosing it. But part of my other job is that I am one of the leaders of Power Pack Kids Ministry, which is a national ministry. And I go all over the place doing different things with young people. Today I want to share a little bit about nurturing children, nurturing our children. And because the room is full of parents, it's full of grandparents, it's full of godparents, it's full of single people who haven't got children yet, it's full of some teenagers, there's a variety of people. So when we use the word family, we've got to try and think of who are the young people that I engage with, and where do I meet them? What part of my world do I get an opportunity to invest in young people? And there's two elements to what's going to happen in this talk. One element is that I've taken some sections of a book called The Forming Center by Marjorie Thompson. And she's written this book that the family unit is a place where we shape our young people, and we invest in them. And as I've read her work, I've realized that actually her sense of family, the inside the house family, actually also connects with the family like a big community family. So at the end of each of these three sections, I'm just going to read a little summary of her chapter, her area of these different areas. So her areas are that the family is like a refuge. It's a place where children feel loved and accepted no matter what. She has a family is a place of story keepers that share the testimony, share the story of their lives, and share the story of how God engages in their lives. And then she has the family are like servants, and they serve each other, and they work out their faith in a way that the children explore together. So that's one element. The other element is my learning style is very hands-on and active, and my wife's learning style is a musical theatre. So rather than just do a long talk, I thought I would put a few little musical clips in to theme each of these three sections. So here is the first clip.
We don't need no education. We don't need no God's control. In the classroom, teacher, leave them.
Okay. For those of you of a certain generation, you know that song. For some of you, going, what's this? The Sunday school movement started many, many years ago, and Robert Raikes began the idea that children who were needy needed basic skills. They needed to read and write and learn about numbers. They needed these skills to get on in life. It was the currency of the day. He introduced the idea that we could teach Bible and train and disciple young people by allowing them to have a learning experience where they're taught things that are going to help them in their future. I think he's brilliant. He's been amazing with the Sunday school movement. But what's happened is it's been an education that has been taught rather than a relationship that's been learned. So we've often grown up with children who are part of a Sunday school movement who know lots of facts about God. They're God smart. They have an understanding of the Bible and they know the stories, but it doesn't necessarily resonate in their experience. And so we have these children who have a lot of knowledge about God, but very little experience. In recent years, we've had quite a lot of a charismatic movement that has meant that children have had a lot of experience of Holy Spirit and God encountering them and haven't necessarily got the depth of understanding from the Word to back up that experience. And what I'd like to encourage us to do for any young person you know is to try and help bring that balance. That balance that means that we can check our experience against our knowledge. So the key verse for this that was in the notices and was given to me is this classic verse that says, some people brought little children to Jesus. They wanted him to place his hands on the children and pray for them. But the disciples told them not to do it. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't keep them away. The kingdom of heaven belongs to people like them. And Jesus placed his hands on them to bless them. And he went on from there. What did Jesus do? He said, this young person is welcome. This young person is valuable and significant. And this young person, as it goes on in the other verses, has a revelation of the future. So in Matthew's gospel, it finishes there. But in Mark and in Luke, it carries on. It says, I'm about to tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive God's kingdom like a little child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms and he placed his hands on them to bless them. He said, these children are welcome. They are valuable, they are significant, and they reveal something. They have a revelation of a future. If you don't catch this, if you don't catch being with these young people, you'll miss a glimpse of heaven. You'll miss a glimpse of what all of this gospel's about. If you don't catch that, then you've missed it. And there's something about children, their openness and their receptiveness to receive things is incredible. They receive the kingdom as a gift. They just get it and accept it. Whatever's given to them, they're often very open and receptive to receive it. Whereas I think as adults, sometimes we want to know if we need to earn it, or we want to know what the conditions are of receiving it. And I think when we're in praise and worship times, we're in moments where children can just receive from God. They just get it, and they can openly accept it. And I think, having spent a lot of time with a lot of children, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be, rather than worrying or getting caught up in the understanding of it, I actually just want to fully accept everything God's got for me like a child. I want to fully experience it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need some wisdom. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, don't be childish in your understanding or in your way of thinking. And they're talking about speaking tongues and prophecy. But we need to have that sense of being God smart. We know the truth and we can share what's in the Word with the experience of an openness and receptiveness to what God's got. This is the policy. Oh gosh, it's very small. This is the policy for children in our church. Let me read it to you. Children and young people are valued as individuals in the life of our church family. They have much to give as well as receive. We will listen to them and encourage them to bring their own special contribution to our church life and witness. As we nurture them in worship, learning, and in community life, we will respect their wishes and feelings. Our aim is to introduce them to Jesus Christ and his love and saving power in such a way that they may choose for themselves to commit their lives to him, that they will be part of a loving church family that supports them as they grow. That's what our church says. That's what you say. That's what we vote for in church meetings. We say this. We say they are valuable and significant and they've got a part to play, that their gifts are ready to be received. You chose this. We wrote this together. This is what we're doing. Okay, we are saying, we're not being like the disciples who are saying, no, don't come to Jesus. We're saying, come. You're welcome. Come and receive. Come and meet him. And we're setting up things in our church and we're setting up our relationships with each other to try and help children connect with Father God. That's what we're trying to do. The challenge is, what do we do that's a bit like the disciples? Because I don't know what they were thinking when they said, no, don't come to Jesus. What were they thinking? What was their intention? I've been puzzling over this for quite a long time, thinking it's probably just, rather than going, children, you're not valuable enough to meet with Jesus. Stay there, you can't meet him. They're probably just going, I need to look after Jesus. I need to look after Jesus. And he's looking tired, so I will put my focus on caring for Jesus. And in that busyness, in that trying to do the right thing, they've missed something. They've missed that actually, to him, the most valuable thing is to connect people with him. His tiredness is not something that he's concerned about at this point. He wants people, not just children actually, people to connect with him. And the disciples missed it. And I wonder how many times we've missed it. We've missed moments in our church family to stick up for that church policy, to do that church policy. So I wrote a few lines that said, let the children come to me and. And when you hear each one, I've made them up. When you hear each one, I'd like you just to consider how you do this with children that you engage with. Maybe you're in this church family, and I don't just mean on Sundays. Maybe in the lives that you lead outside of church, how do you connect people with God? And maybe you've got nieces and nephews and younger cousins or young people you meet. How do you let the children come to? I've written let the children come to me and, but how do you connect them to Jesus? So let the children come to me and feel welcome. Let the children come to me and see me worship and copy and join in. Let the children come to me and hear me share encouragements, pray prayers, and forgive others. Let the children come to me and learn more about Father God when I share his word with them. Let the children come to me and have time with me so they see the real me, share testimony of his goodness. Let the children come to me and feel safe enough to process their doubts so they can own their own faith. And let the children come to me and share their openness and receptivity so that I can learn about the kingdom from them. There's a lot of fantastic things in our church that allow our young people to connect with Jesus, and there, many of them are sat here. You are the connectors to connect these young people. You allow children to feel loved and accepted. I'm going to finish this section. Have I gone on the section? Finish this section, the top section, by just reading a little set of things from Marjorie Thompson's The Forming Center. So she's talking about family unit. And if you're in a family unit, you can listen to them in that way. But if you're not part of a family unit in that sense, can you listen to them as part of a community? Family are the refuge. For a child, the family should be the safest place on earth. A family should be a place of acceptance and nurture and growth that empowers family members to participate in God's ongoing acts of compassion and salvation. It's the only place they can be absolutely who they are and still know that they're accepted and forgiven. The acceptance of a child's identity, feelings, and actions by the family will mirror to the child the love and acceptance God feels for them. Help that child to fully experience God's love. Although the family may not deem all of the children's actions and desires appropriate, the family will still show the child unconditional love and acceptance, allowing the child to grow emotionally strong and confident. When they see their parents and other adults forgive one another, or they experience forgiveness themselves, it teaches them about God's forgiveness for them. Experiencing how family members love each other is a mirror of God's love. It's time for our next musical clip. Here we go.
Everyone is special in their own way.
six people in here will know what this is. Okay, who knew it? Oh, yeah, about six, yeah. For those who have not been tormented by this, that's a theme tune from High School Musical. So when my kids were little, this played in my head continually. Quite different to the Pink Floyd track. We're all in this together. We're all in this together to nurture children. And there's this fantastic tiny section in Zechariah 8, 4 and 5, and it just speaks of the way God sees young people and older people together, the way he sees it as the perfect plan. I just want to share that with you. So Zechariah 8, 4 to 5 says, "This is what the Lord All-Powerful says. Old men and old women will again sit along Jerusalem's streets, each carrying a cane because of age. And the streets will be filled with boys and girls playing." Okay, a little bit of background. Zechariah, prophet, he'd been in Babylon. He'd been then returned to Jerusalem to see it be rebuilt. Finally, God had intervened and they could rebuild the way God wanted it to be. And he had a series of messages from God that said, "This is the way I want it to be. This is the perfect ideal." And in Zechariah 8, there are eight little glimpses of the hope that God's given the people who were back in Jerusalem, having seen everything spoilt, but then coming back and being restored. And of these pictures, this one speaks of a place where everything is good. So when you read it in the message, it reads like this. Old men and old women will come back to Jerusalem, sit on benches on the streets and spin tails, move around safely with their canes. A good city to grow old in, and the boys and girls will play, will fill the public parks, laughing and playing. It's a good city to grow up in. Here's a few things from this passage. I had no idea how to sandwich the verse, but the idea is that we're talking about God's perfect plan. And then there's this verse, and then we're talking about the way that God is saying everything's going to be right. So this image of adults talking and being together and being in community while children play amongst them is an image that God's got for the people of Jerusalem then when Zechariah was there. It's an image for when Jesus is there and restores everything, and it's an image for our hope of heaven. And it's all three things at once, because the Bible's brilliant, isn't it? It just does that in a fantastic way. So I'd like to encourage us to get a glimpse of heaven by having our young people play around while we get to be with them and we get to model something. So we are the old men and old women. I'm really sorry. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because at the time when they would have gone back, there weren't old men and old women because they died because there was poverty. And they'd been in exile and it had been really difficult and they just didn't exist. So this is a blessing. We are blessed. I hope you know this. Okay? God blesses you. God bless the people there because the image is that they would grow old well. They'd grow old well, which is something they could never have hoped for. They carry a cane, which would have been a mark of respect. The image of a cane would be that you're respected. And our young people respect you. They love spending time with you. I've seen it all around the church. They come up to you and they chat to you. And some of you kneel down and look them in the eye. And some of you sit outside in the garden just spending time with them. And you invest in them. You do this. You carry canes of wisdom and you share testimony with them. I see it everywhere in the church's life. It's fantastic. Please keep doing it. In the streets, 30 years ago, when I was a kid, I just used to go and play out. I'm sure I must have been 7, 8, 9, 10, and I just went to anywhere in our village. I could just go anywhere. And I'd play out in the roads and in the streets that I were there, and we'd go and play on old railway tracks. And my parents had no clue where I was, but I was absolutely free. But this picture catches something of that being in the marketplace together. So that when it says streets, it means the community hub, the place where business is done and people share life together. And the children pick up on that, catch all of that. And this is the place that that happens. Finally, it's filled with boys and girls playing. It would be really busy. It felt busy, didn't it, playing rock, paper, scissors? Yeah, felt quite confusing as we're kind of playing in church and we've got these songs with these actions going on. It feels busy. But that playing is the same word that's used when David dances before the ark as they walk in. As he goes, this is the way it's going to be. And this life that these young people bring to us is something that we need to really get hold of. Because I want a good place to grow old in, and I want a good place for our young people to grow up in. I want us together to grow old in a place, I'm sorry. And I want to see our young people grow up in this really well. So I just thought I'd take a tiny moment to talk about what happens in our all-age time that you've just experienced some of. And some of the thinking that us as service leaders are trying to do to try and make it work for everybody, not just children, but for everybody. So here we go. It's a whistle-stop tour of what happens when we're in an all-age setting. So we try to use objects or images on the screens to try and connect with people who are visual learners or hands-on learners or people who need to connect with God by not just sitting and listening. We need to have a voice that's engaging for people and not necessarily patronizing for you as adults. We often try and speak to everybody rather than speak down to the children. It's not always easy because they're very engaging and they're fidgety and you just want to go like this. But actually, we're trying to include everybody. And your part in that is how do you respond to people who are doing that. We try and get people physically moving around. Some of you hate this. Thank you for putting up with it. And thank you for connecting with it. And thank you for modeling it, even though it's not comfortable for you. Because it matters. It matters that you step in and physically respond to God, even though it might not be your chosen style. Because for some of us, it is our chosen style, and they really need to jump about. We try not to hide behind things. It's really easy for me. I can stand here. I'm not musical at all, so I don't have anything in the way. Whereas if you happen to be a guitarist or a singer, it's difficult. But you might have seen them scoop up a microphone and come and try and engage. They're trying to say, come on, everybody, come on. Let's get in this marketplace and be together. We try to change our vocabulary to try and include everybody. That's those who are younger, those who maybe English isn't your first language, maybe people who need it explained in a certain way. And some of the song lyrics that are chosen, it's all trying, it's not always easy. We're trying to help us as a community gather around some of the text that's there. So Lighthouse is a fantastic song because of all of the ideas. Difficult and God's always there, and he brings peace when there's problems. And it's a bit odd, the lighthouse, isn't it? The idea that stay away. A lighthouse is an image of stay away. But other than that image, the rest of the song is awesome. We tried to make good eye contact. I'm that sort of person. You'll see me dotting about like this. We try and engage everybody. And so for some of you, that's great. You quite like to connect with the person at the front. For some of you, you're like, oh, gosh, this is awkward. We're all in it together, aren't we? We try and run a thread of worship through rather than try and teach you something in that time that is relevant to the talk that's happening. So because the children don't get this talk, they go off to do something else. So the idea of that first part is we all are drawn to worship. It's a place of confession and prayers, and it's a place where we all connect together. We try to have a variety of people jump up, so different nationalities, different ages, different genders, trying to model this church family. Sometimes we have drama or a bit of art or something that happens on here. Busy, isn't it? Okay, it's quite a lot to think about. It's quite a lot to think about as a leader stood here. And I just want to ask you, when you are in this first 15, 20 minutes, do you have the feelings that I'm going to engage with this because it really matters for our community? Or do you maybe have the feelings that I've just got to get through this bit? Just got to get through this bit because the kids will go out in a bit and then it'll all calm down. I wonder what the disciples would have done, because they said, stay away, Jesus needs some space. And he's going, no, don't hinder them. And it's not a criticism, but I know I've had all of those feelings in the same service, that I just need some space sometimes, and it's got the word I in it. I need this space. I'm ready to engage with it. It needs to be we. We together do this. And our service leaders are trying their best to make this happen, and it's not easy. It's a very difficult thing to do. Last section. Time for another musical clip.
We're closer than pages that stick in a book. We're closer than ripples that play in a brook. Wherever you find him, you find me, just look. Closer than a miser or the bloodhound's Deliza, me.
We're closer than smog when it clings
and
to L.A. We're closer than Bobby is to JFK. Not a soul can bust this team in two. We stick together like glue.
I not realized how awkward that would feel, just standing here listening to music. Especially when you missed a bit from the last section. So I said that Marjorie Thompson does this forming center, and she talks about story keepers. And I'd just like to read this before I do the me and my shadow bit. Story keepers. We as a family, we share story together. We share testimony together. So the family has a role in a child's spiritual formation, as that we're storytellers, we're guides. The family has three stories to tell. A personal story of faith about their birth and bringing God into the midst of their special day, how parents and grandparents came to love God and Jesus, and how the larger community of faith have been important to them over the years. We have the story of the past, stories of grandma and grandpa and mum and dad and people in this congregation. We have a story that gives them a sense of being part of something lasting, strong, and secure. And we have biblical stories to share. Children need to hear God's story before they can live in God's story. Families have the ability to tell God's story and their own story spontaneously. Families can tell stories that fit their circumstances, and they can tailor the story to meet the needs of the children in the situation. We share story with our children. We connect Bible and life with them. Right, back to me and my shadow. I took this verse that's been spoken on already, which says, he makes the whole body grow and builds itself up in love under the control of Christ. Each part of the body does its work. It supports the other parts, and in that way, the body is joined and held together. I chose me and my shadow because I'd like to introduce something to us as a church family. I'd like to introduce the idea that our young people, our children, our older children and our youth, become shadows to us so that they are discipled alongside some of us who do different roles and live life in our church. So I would love to see a young person next to someone doing the sound desk, learning about the sound desk, learning about why the adjustments to the sound make a difference to the way God can respond in the room. I'd love that person to be stood next to you. Yeah, be good. And being discipled by you, where you ask them, how was your week? What's happening with God in your week? Share a Bible. I read this passage in my Bible. It really meant something to me. I'd like to pair young person or a child with you to share a role. I'd like to see them stood in different places in the church, being discipled by you, being encouraged by you, and grow alongside you. I'd like to see you share life with them that's got its own doubts and troubled seas, alongside them sharing with you. Now, this has loads of implications for safeguarding and parenting and all of this sort of thing. But I think it's worth it. I think it's worth finding a way to match a young person with you. And it might be that you're on welcome and you have a person who joins you on your rota and comes alongside you and welcomes people. And you explain what it is you're doing with the welcome and why it matters when you welcome someone in the door. Maybe on the worship team or the preaching team, you can have a shadow who's part of the process of planning the talk and maybe eventually able to deliver some of these talks to different groups within the life of the church. Maybe an outreach event. We did some things in Headington and we had children alongside us too. Maybe even the buildings and the painting and the connecting. We often invite children in, but I'd like to be quite strategic and actually match a young person to you so you build up a proper relationship with them. It reminds me of Jesus being with Joseph, and he learnt to be a carpenter alongside his dad. And his dad modelled why he would take care over making things. He would pour into Jesus while he did it. Not about how to cut the wood, but about who he is and why the love and care goes into the work. And why valuing work is important. So, I think our greatest contribution to the kingdom of God might not be something that we do, but it might be someone that we raise. It feels like that as a parent to me, that maybe I get an opportunity to raise someone to is the most important thing I can do. And I think if you want children to be connected and significant, then we need to give them a place to contribute. So in the new year, I'm hoping to launch this shadowing thing where we match a young person or child to a person in a role and we disciple them. Now, I've called it shadowing because I don't actually think it's just a children and young person thing. I think we could pair two adults because I think it's got as much benefit for that. So I'm going to finish this talk, which is good because it's 2:15. And I'd like to challenge you. I'd like to challenge you to invest in young people and make that policy for our church true. So if you wouldn't, would you stand for me? I'd like to pray for you. Holy Spirit, I just ask that each of us stood here is able to respond to you and your call. Not just the points that have been made, but just something in us, burn something in us that makes us want to see young people rise up and be power packs and be strong and bold and brave and able to know the truth about you and know the experience of your love. Help us to find ways in our lives to invest in young people. Amen. I'm going to hand back to you, Becky, now.